Okay, so let's continue on Ayin Zayin in Gittin. All right, so let's take the Tzricha. As the Gemara wants to know, why does it have to say Yodo by... why do you have to have the limud that Yad includes Chotzer by Get and that Yad includes Chotzer by Geneva? So it says, if I only had it by Gittin, I would say that it works by Get Mishum Debal Korcha Megarsha. That since the husband can divorce his wife against her will, that's why it's good. Rashi, right. That since, let's be careful, let's learn Rashi carefully. Klomar, dechi yohiv lei nami biyada al karcha, he, that even if that when he gives it to her in her hand, right, directly in her hand, it could be against her will. Vafilu hochi omar rachmona ditiskarish, even though it's against her will, it's good. The divorce is good. Hilkach chatzera nami konila. Therefore, chatzer also is kona for her. Okay. So the question is, what's the relationship between the kinyan, between the idea of bal karcha and chatzer? Why? In other words, the Gemara, the format of the Gemara is saying, there's two inyanim that the Torah teaches it to. It teaches you by get and teaches you by ganav. Right? Here's our roadmap. That there has to be a svara why it would be good only by get, and then there's a svara why it would be good only by ganav. And that's what the Gemara is trying to explain. If the Torah only taught it to you by get, I would have a svara, I would have some idea to say it makes sense only by get for this reason, and therefore I wouldn't apply it anywhere else, right? And if it was written only by Geneva, there'd be an idea, there has to be another idea that would say it's a unique to Geneva for this reason, right? Since if the Torah told you only in one of the two cases, you would assume, the best assumption would be that it's unique and special to that case. That's the tzricha. That's why you need it in both places. Okay, so we have to understand what's the idea of why chatzer would work only by get. What's the idea of why chatzer would work only by geneva? And I guess what's the idea of why it works by both? There must be some more generalized concept. It's not particular to get or particular to geneva. Okay, so let's first work on let's take the bal karcha case. Okay, so why? Because Gittin works bal karchach, therefore I would assume that's why chotzer works. Yeah. Okay, so what do you want to say? So Ben wanted to try something out. The indication from Rashi is that it's a natural consequence of the fact that it can work bal karchach, that it can also work through her chotzer. In other words, it's not in order that it should be able to be bal karchach, the Torah gives you a chatzir, but it's sort of like, it makes sense. If I would just tell you that a kinyan can be done bal karchach, then it makes sense to not differentiate between the person themselves and their chatzir. Not like a question of purpose and reason, but logically, in terms of kinyan. In other words, what your proposition fails to do is to finally still show me the mechanism of the kinyan in the end. You understand? You're giving me a good reason why it should work. But it's still, sof kol sof, how does it work? I mean, it's not her. So you're going to have to answer that question. So how does it work? I mean, this really forces us just to step back and be very basic for a minute. And let's think about the difference between Yada and Chatzera. I mean, they have to have something in common, otherwise it wouldn't be possible. And obviously they're not the same. But what is it that's... what is it really? I mean, whenever you're in any type of a question, it always pays to just go back to the most basic fundamental points and just think them over. Talk about them. Try to figure out What are we really trying to do? What do we need to accomplish here? And what are the elements of the kinyan? So what are the so we're trying to do kinyan over here. We're trying to transfer ownership from his property, from his rishus to hers. Okay, so Matt is proposing a different idea. That, in other words, let's think about the. So by a regular kinyan between two parties, where there's no issue of Bal Karcho, so it requires the das of both parties, right? There's an exchange. I give you something, and you give me something in return. I have to want your thing, and you have to want my thing, right? Without a meeting of the minds, there's no kinyan. So, but by gittin, we say it's baal karchach. So, what does it mean it's baal karchach? It means her das is not important. She's not bargaining for anything. She simply is the recipient of his nesinas haget. So, in terms of being the recipient, all we really need is what? All we really need is something that is considered her reshus. We just need a maisa into her rishus. In other words, since her whole role here is passive, just to be the recipient, because she's not giving anything or really even accepting anything. The whole process happens bal karchach. So then in that context, it makes sense to not differentiate between chatzera and yada. Why? Because yada, you could say that's her guf and her das, and that's her person that represents all of her control. But the whole kinyan of chatzer is against her control. It has nothing to do with her control. All that it requires is that it lands in a makom that we can say is hers. That we can say that the cheftza was noson birashusa. All we need is that it should be able to be called by her name and put into her possession. So in that context, it makes perfect sense to say that by the maisa of nesinas haget, we don't need yad. Chotzer is equivalent to yad. Because over there, it's really a one-sided transaction. And she just serves the... What is her role, so to speak, in the kinyan of get? Recipient. Passive recipient. And therefore, it makes sense to say that at least is a good possibility to say that what? Chotzer can be an object in terms of the kinyan. The chotzer can be a cheftza of somebody's maisa's kinyan. It can be a passive entity. But who's to say that it can actually be an active kone? Who's to say that in terms of expressing the das of somebody to say, I'm taking possession and expressing ownership? Who's to say, you wouldn't necessarily make that jump. You wouldn't say just because, you couldn't say logically, just because chatzir can function to be considered the recipient to make it that she received the get, which requires no participation on her part, just that it's given to a makom, that just that it's given to her shame, just that it's given to her rishus. But you wouldn't know that in a maisa geneva, where it really takes part of the activity of the person, you wouldn't know that the get, that the chotzer can that doesn't mean that the chotzer has the capacity to function positively as the maisa of the baal. The get doesn't require any maisa of the isha. It just requires her being. Just requires her as a passive recipient. But you wouldn't be able to then turn around and say by ganav that it should be good baal karcha. That should be good. The chutzah should be good. Right?
He's stealing from passive.
But he has to take. How do you know that what? That taking is considered the maisa lakicha if it's not with your person. In other words, by get we can say we'll equate her and the chotzer in terms of saying it was received by her. But who's to say we can equate the chotzer and the yad in terms of saying it is the maisa of the gavra? That it's an action of the person. Who's to say that he's considered to have done an action of lakicha because it's in his yard? That's a totally different concept. That's a different concept. I could say no, the Torah only considers taking when you're active. In other words, there has to be a certain involvement of the person, a direct involvement of the person. Otherwise, it's not considered him.
So yeah. Two things,
maybe. Geneva is an action of the person. Who's to say that the Torah equates a person's action with his chatzar?
It then needs to end up permanently. Like.
All right, so let's take the next side, though. Yeah. Now, as normally in Kinyan, there are two deos. There's the das of the makna and the das of the kona. If I want to give you something, even as a matana, there's my das of a makne, the one that wants to give, and then you have to have a das of being kona. So there are two deos that are involved. But that's the chiddush of gittin, that the kinyan only is tali on the das makne. The kinyan does not need the das kona at all. That is the din by gittin. Does not need any das kona, only a das makne. So therefore, she doesn't function as a as da in terms of das over here. She only functions as a chefza, as the conclusion of his maisa hakna. But she's not necessary. We don't need her in terms of das. So therefore, in that sense, the chutzner is just as good as she is. So if you want to think about it this way, you could say that ordinarily you need two deos, because in order for me to be makne something to you, your rishus has to be accepting of it. I can't put it in your rishus unless, so to speak, you make room for it in your rishus. So you have to have a das to accept it, and sort of now there's a makom for me to be able to put it. But by getting the Torah creates the makom. You don't need the person's willingness to create that makom. It's all made for this. Mm-hmm. There's an automatic makom for the get. So the das, her das is not necessary to create the feasibility of this transaction. Normally, you want to give me something, I say I don't want anything else. So there's no place for you to put it in a conceptual place. So therefore, you have to have das to be willing to accept it. Now there's a makom for me to take it out of my rishus and put it into your rishus. Right. But by getting that whole thing is not necessary. The Torah itself says every woman who is married has an automatic makom that's roi for the nesinas haget. So her das is irrelevant. Even her awareness, it would seem, is irrelevant. Oh, we have to see cases like if she's sleeping and things like that. But from this aspect, it's irrelevant. There might be other reasons why she has to be aware of it, but for this aspect alone, it's not relevant. Okay, so what about the Geneva side? So now they're going to say like this. V'i ashmin on Ghana, this side is a little bit more difficult maybe. Mishum de kanse rachmano. What does that mean? Because the Torah gave him a kanas. I mean, who cares? So what? But by get, no. This side we don't have much. Not much information. Right? Not much information. Take a look at the Ritva. He said like this. Umiyu gabi ganav eno chayev kishenichne. So he said like this. V'i ashminan gabi ganav bishum kenaso avo get emalo. Tzricha. Right? So did you see the Ritva? He says, so now in the Maskana, I know we're going a little out of order, but he's saying in the Maskana, Chatzar works by get and by Chatzar and by Ganav. But he makes an important distinction. So the Ritva, he says, but they don't work the same way. He says, Gabi Ganav eino chayev kishenichnasa l'rishuso elem kei no'al b'faneha. He says, it's true, the Maskana, the Gemara says, Chatzar works by Ganav and by get, but not the same way. Now, if an animal wandered into your yard without your awareness, you wouldn't be a ganav, right? He says, Elim kainol b'fonel. You'd only be a ganav if you locked the door after it walked in, right? Why? Demuchacha milsa deberetzonohu. What does that show? That it's his will. Right. You have to show some sort of will. V'im hinhiga ach nichnasal rishuso, and if you dragged it or you let it, afilu lo no'al b'fanei achayev, then you wouldn't need to close the door because that already showed your ratzon. Hold on. Okay. Right. V'hu. Here's a technical matter. V'hu dekofar beva asu sahadi. It would only be true though if he denied it and Adam came. The Ibe Hodaso Hakaimulan Moda Biknas is Pater. If you admit you did it, then you're Pater Biknas. The Gabi Get Kevan Shebi Yoda Miskareshes Bal Korcha Bichatsera Loba Ina Ni'ila. But by the Get case, the woman never has to close the door. So he's saying, even though Maskana comes out that the chatzer works by gittin and by geneva, it's different. By gittin, it just has to be thrown in there. She doesn't have to close the door. But by geneva, if it walked in by itself, or if I put it into your yard, you would only be a ganav if you locked it. Why? Why? Because geneva requires what? Ratzon. But get just requires hirushus, because all the ratzon comes from the baal. Okay, yeah. So just maybe I thought this might help us think about the problem a little bit. Go ahead. In other words, I think what it means is like this: that what does it mean by, what does kenas mean in general? This is what I was mentioned yesterday. Kenas means that what you're paying, you're not chaya for in just regular dine mominus. As you're not paying for what you removed from his rishus. You're paying for something more. In terms of a regular monetary claim, the monetary claim doesn't exist. Kenas is some payment above an ordinary monetary claim. So, for instance, let's say I would say kefil is the most obvious case. That if I stole $100 worth of goods, so on a monetary claim, in terms of just regular dine mominus, the only claim you'd have against me is $100 to replace what I took. To pay $200, that's kenas. And by definition, it's kenas because it's more than the maisa of the mominus deprived you. It's more than you were deprived of in terms of mominus. Okay. So what does that show you? So what do you see from that? That sometimes you're chayav. If I broke your kli, so I have to replace it, right? That's because of the maisa in terms of mominus, right? But if I stole $100 and I have to pay back $200, that's not midin mominus. The extra 100 at least is not me din mominus. It's not because I deprived you of that. I'm not replacing what I took. If I broke your $100 kli and I have to give you $100, so that's a din of replacing what I took. Right? But if I have to pay you more, then it's not related to a maisa of replacing. It's not related to my maisa of destruction. It's not related to my maisa of lekicha. You understand? It's really more like an onesh. Correct? In other words, there are two systems. There's just the civil law, where I have to look at what my action deprived you of, and then I have to make you whole. And then there's in terms of kenas, which is more like a punitive type of a thing. That I'm not saying I deprived you of $200 in any way, but we're saying the action is bad and it should be punished. How do we punish the action? Or we base it off of what the mominus was. I mean, You have that in American law too. Damages, triple damage, whatever it is, all types of things. But the point is, he's saying that really you're really paying because of the rishus in the maisa. That's kenas. Kenas, you're really paying not because your maisa in the realm of dine mominus caused this kind of a loss, but on its own, in terms of the nature of the maisa. It's a maisa of a certain rishus, or it's a maisa that requires a certain degree of punishment. So that's the saying is the, it seems that that's the havamina on the second side.
So really, the one wouldn't be a valid kenyan.
So it could be. I would say, yeah. Look, who maybe you see that there? You see that geneva as a din of knas. So maybe. Maybe the whole inyan of geneva is not an inyan of kinyan. It's an inyan of because of your ratzon, because of the expression of your ratzon, and you did a maisa biratzon, that itself is enough to make you chayev. In other words, it runs on a different framework. It's not that the closing of the door of your yard is a maisa kinyan, but it is a maisa ratzon, and that is also just as deplorable as a guy who really did it.
We can say that you wanted to make it yours.
We could say you wanted to make it yours. How did you want it to make it yours? Because you used an object of yours to express the, in a way that demonstrated the ratzon. That's why the Ritva is showing you. That even though in the end we say it is a kinyan, but it's only a kinyan because it still is only a kinyan when it demonstrates that ratzon. But the point is that I'm sort of like backing out of that ritva what the havamina was. The havamina was he's showing you that even when it works as a maisa of the ratzon of the ganav. So the havamina was maybe that's all it really is. Maybe that's really the whole thing. Maybe the whole inyan of geneva is a different kind of a kinyan. It's a kinyan geneva that you don't really own it anyway. Truth of the matter is, the whole idea of geneva is strange. You don't own it, right? You didn't buy it. You're not. So maybe the whole inyan of geneva is a different kind of a kinyan. It's a kinyan ratzon, not a kinyan in reality of dine mekoch memkar. So just because I could show you that by geneva we treat you like you were kona, maybe that's the whole idea of geneva, that there's a separate institution of a kinyan just of geneva, and the kinyan of geneva doesn't operate on the regular things of mekoch memkar. And I prove it to you because this kenas, you're not really giving back simply what you took. So the whole institution of geneva is on a principle of kinyonim in the sense of the ratzon of the ganaf, not in the reality of the maisa. So then just because I could say by chatzer it expresses that, that doesn't mean that it actually effectuates kinyonim at all. And maybe it's not even good as a recipient of a get, because maybe we don't actually consider the property at all to be synonymous with the person, even just as a recipient. Maybe this whole thing is because the guy is active in the ratzon, and that's really what he's being punished for. Okay, kamash malon, what? It works by get and it works by geneva. So what does that show us then? What's the kamash malon finally? That definitely we can say that there is an equation between the person and their chotzer in terms of rishus. So it works by it works over there. It works by get. And it would seem what? That in general there's an idea that it can even be used for the mice of the gavra. In other words, it doesn't seem that it would be limited now to get and geneva, right? That's right, exactly. In other words, right, if a hefker animal wandered into your field and you closed the gate, you'd be kona. As a matter of fact, that's a mishnah in Bava Metzia. You don't even have to close the gate. Yeah. Because what we say by kenas, what it means is like this. In terms of returning the animal, he always has to return the animal, whether it's a maisa kinyan or not. It has nothing to do with that. if I take your thing, whether I made a kinyan or I didn't, I mean, you know, I owe you that. I owe you that at least. If I destroyed your object, no different than a regular case of a mazik or just like someone who has somebody else's object. Of course, it has to go back. But the inyan of kanas is what's the chiddush by Gneva, that he still has to pay kanas. But maybe that whole inyan of kanas is only a punitive idea, and it goes by, and it's determined not by regular dine mekach memka, just by a separate institution of a kinyan of a ganav, which would be defined on different terms by his ratzon, basically. Yeah, in order for it to be usable for mekach memka, you have to say that the person's property has a certain identity with their rishus. Maybe that sounds simple, but it's not so simple. I mean, generally we differentiate between a person and their possessions. I mean, there's me, and then there's the things I own. If you wanted to give me something, it's a good idea that you'd have to give it to me. Right? And then it would become part of what I own. Where's this idea that I can give to something that I own, and it also becomes part of what I own? I mean, that's a very... That requires some sort of a chiddush. That requires the Torah to teach us that. You could say simply, no. There's you as the gavra, and then there are the things that have that are under your rishus. And it would make a lot of sense to say it has to go to the gavra in order to become part of his property. To say I can put it in your property and it becomes part of your property, that's a whole different possibility. Right? So it's very possible that would not be the case. So you need so once we see Gittin works, at least we know that the property has a certain, that a person's karka or chutzar or bias is more than just something that is theirs, but it actually could be effective for them in terms of acquiring more things. But who's to say that it could function as a in an active way to actually be more than just, because by getting it would make sense to say it works because all you need is basically that you delivered it to that person, and you could say, well, since this is theirs, in a certain sense, it's like you delivered it to them. But who's to say that it can actually have the properties, all the qualities of the active person, that it can actually do an action of acquiring? That's a different idea. So that you see from Ganef. So from Ganef and Gittin, you get the both. All right, let's continue. Now we'll open up the big question over here. So now the Gemara is like this. Now the Gemara is like this. Chatzera. We have to get this problem clear. Chatzera. Masha konsa isha kana baila. What does that mean? Chatzera. Now it's going back on the Mishnah. How can you tell me that a chatzer is good? Masha konsa isha kana baila. Yeah, what does that mean? What does that mean? Rashi. Masha kona isha kone baila. Rashi, continue. Leperos lehishtamesh ba. Stop. So what is he talking about? What is he talking about?
Not the actual chatzer, but like what's in the chatzer.
Let's see the ritva. Afa akshinan chatzera. Yeah, same thing. Masha konsa isha kone baila pirish leperos lehishtamesh ba. Yeah, and what is Rashi saying? V'akati lo nofik get miyode debal. What does that mean? The get still did not leave the hand of the baal. Yeah. We have to make sure we understand the question clearly.
What was the first half of the Rashi?
Did I skip something?
No, we went...
Yeah. We have to make sure we understand the question very... We have to make sure we understand the question. What is the question? What is the question? In other words, the Gemara's question really here is about the chatzer itself. Saying, what do you mean she has a chatzer? What do you mean she has a... What do you mean you put it into her chatzer? This is what you were asking me about yesterday, Jacob. What do you mean her chatzer? Once they get married, whatever she owns, he owns. He owns for the peros, and he has the rights to use the thing. So in a certain sense, she doesn't really have an independent chatzer anymore. Who calls the shots on the chatzer? He does. It's not talking about the get. Have to be careful, right? Because if it was talking about the get, then it would be a question even if you put it in her hand. Then that would just be, well, how can she ever get married? Once she gets it, he gets it. And in an infinite loop. That's not the question. It's not talking about the get itself, right? It's talking about the chatzer. How could a woman have a chatzer to make a kinyan through? The chatzer that she owns, he is the one who gets all the peros from it. Right? That's what we had yesterday. Now, if a woman brings into the marriage a field, who eats the peros from that field? The husband eats the peros from that field. Who gets to plant and do all the things? The husband gets to do all the things. So he effectively controls that field. So effectively, in a certain sense, it's his field. So in a certain sense, it's not. But the Gemara right now is assuming that the fact that he gets all of the benefits of the field, he gets all the produce of the field, all that the field yields, then she can't acquire anything through that field.
Even though it's Nichsei
Maluk. How does she acquire anything through that field? Everything that the field produces is the husband's. She doesn't own the fruits that grow on the field. They're not hers. So why should she own a get that wanders on her field?
It's not a product of the field.
Well, that's true. That's true.
It's not a variable in this case. She's the owner. He's putting...
Take a look at the Tosa's writ. He sort of puts it in a clearer way. You see at the bottom? Umaksha. Got it at the bottom? Chatzera. Everyone got that on the side of the Gemara? Tosa's writ. Do you have Tosa's writ on the side of the
Gemara?
The very last three words on the line. Four words. Umaksha. Chatzera. Masha kansa isha. Kana baila. Pirish. Shekol nichsei ha'isha kinuyin lo lebal ha'peros. All the property of the woman are owned or acquired to the owner of the peros. A little bit of a difficult idea. V'kevan she'peros ha'chotzer hu shel bal. Since the husband owns the peros of the chotzer, Ma koch yesh liisha ba'oso chotzer sheyikne lo haget. What control or koach does she have in this field? She doesn't have any control over the field. She doesn't call the shots on the field. He's the one who's in control of the whole field.
But we still call it her chotzer.
In the sense, yeah, if they would divorce, he would have to give her back whatever is left.
But there is like, in terms of when they're married, there is some idea of it being hers. Or else we wouldn't even call it chatzera. We'd call it chatzera.
In a certain sense, because he can't sell it to somebody else and just get rid of it completely. He still has to, he guarantees that he's going to return it to her in whatever condition it's in. But everything that has to do with the field is under his control. So how can she use it as an entity of her rishus when, practically speaking, it's an entity of his rishus? It's true on the title somewhere you have her name, but in terms of giving it to her, Rashi's saying it's lo nofak get miyode. Let's put it this way. Rashi puts it in an interesting way that he says it didn't leave his rishus completely. It didn't leave his rishus. He's still putting it into a place that he is a bow on. In order for the get to be good, he has to give it to her and it has to leave his rishus. But the field is still in some sense his rishus. He owns it. He has a certain ownership over it. He has rights over it. It's a problem in the Nesina, exactly. And Rashi, the Ritva says, Akati lo nofka mi yode debal. It didn't leave his hand, really. It still didn't fully leave his hand. It's still under his control. What's that? So the Gemara gives the first answer like this. We're going to go through these answers fairly quickly. We'll get to the one on the next side. Amar Rav Elazar, Bekosev lo din vidvarim ein li benichosayach. Yeah. So the Gemara says a simple answer. Like I was mentioning to you the other day, the Torah gives the woman a lot of independence. So if he gets her peros because of a certain deal that is embedded in the ksuba, but if he could say to her, look, they could make their own arrangement, and she could say, I want my money to be completely separate from your money. I don't want you to support me, and I don't want you to get the fruits from my field. I want the field to be mine completely, and I'll sustain myself. There's a certain deal in the marriage that the husband must take care of his wife. He has to pay for her food, for her clothing, for her redemption if she's taken captive, different things, or kavura, whatever it is. He has to pay, he's promising to pay for all of these things. So in return, we give him the payros from the fields. But they could have a modern relationship and be independent. So that's the Gemara's first answer. Yeah, you're right. In a normal case, Masha Kansa Isha Kana Baila. But they could make their own stipulation that this field is hers and she gets all the payros.